You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Imagine this, waking up to sunlight, not an alarm clock, choosing what your day looks like, not your boss, having time for rest and rejuvenation, money flowing, not just from your job, but from what you've built. Sounds like a fantasy, right? But what if it's not? What if retiring early, not at 65, but maybe at 50, 45, or even 40, isn't just for the lucky or the rich, but for those who are strategic? Today, we're having a conversation that may just interrupt your relationship with work forever. Because our guest, Tish Magonese, isn't just a financial strategist. He's a freedom whisperer, a man who spent years learning, living, and teaching the roadmap to buying back your time and building a future where money doesn't dictate your every decision. And no, he's not here to tell you or to sell you a dream. He's here to show you a plan, the risks, the rewards, the hard truths, and the smart moves. So if you've ever asked yourself, will I work until I die? Or is there another way to live? This episode is your invitation to step into a new possibility. Welcome to the conversation that could change everything. Tish, good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you very much. You describe me in a way that makes me almost want to meet myself. I don't know about being a freedom whisperer.
Well, we're about to find out. The rest of the world is about to find out.
Yeah, no, that's cool. It's lovely to meet you, Mpumi, and good evening to your listeners. I always say I don't particularly have any knowledge that nobody else has.
You would be very surprised.
I don't know, but yeah, I just try to share what little I know and also hopefully be able to learn from others as well. So I hope we can do that over the course of this conversation.
We love that you're here, and I really believe that you know more than a lot of people, because sometimes we underestimate the knowledge that we have until somebody says, really? I didn't know. Then we realize, oh, okay. So let's start at the very beginning. When did the idea of early retirement first grab your attention? And what about it made you say, how? This is the life I want.
Okay, so I think there are a couple of things. You know, I always like to tell stories, and I think stories resonate with us. Maybe it's, you know, from way back in the day, if you're African, when you used to sit with your grandmother and you'd get folk tales or folklore, as you call it. And when you look at the concept of retirement from like a historical perspective, you know, how did we get to a place where there's actually something called retirement, and what is it about? It's actually interesting because some of the early references to retirement are from the Roman Empire, where you had traveling soldiers called legionnaires, and these became very seasoned battle strategists who were well-traveled and very well-loaded for their ability to win battles for the empire.
Okay.
But what obviously happened after a few years is, you know, they got injured, or they just simply got old and new and younger guys came along. So these guys stopped going to war, so they would now sit around at home. And one of the Roman emperors at the time, I think it was Augustus, felt that these guys were a threat, because these are guys who know how to wage war.
Yes.
And if they all got together and now they were not earning money, he figured, oh, these guys might topple me.
Anything
so he established,
happen.
You know what I mean? Mm. So he established a retirement fund, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and these guys now didn't have to go to battle anymore, but they got paid by proceeds from the state. So when you start trying to read around the concept of retirement historically, these are some of the early sort of accounts you come across where the actual concept of retirement came across, you know, was first, you know, spoken about. Then, if you move even further, into the 1800s and you go into the German Empire, there's a guy called Otto von Bismarck. Those of you that did European history would know that, he was a German emperor, probably very involved in the carving up of Africa, the Berlin Conference. These are the guys that put some of the borders that we have now in places where we don't even understand what the borders, what purpose they serve. And Otto von Bismarck had an uprising of Marxists in his society. And if you live in South Africa, you'll know about the Young Turks in politics. Guys come up with brand new ideas. They want to change the world. And the old guard, if you want to call them that, feel threatened. And Otto von Bismarck saw all these guys coming up with all this Marxist theory and thinking, they can take over the world. They want to change. They want a different political system. They want a new order. And he thought to himself, but the biggest problem with these guys is that they're actually unemployed. So if I employ them, they will probably have less time to think about whether or not I should continue to be in power. So what he then did was he introduced the concept of retirement to say that if you're older and you're kind of like 70 years old, you need to stop working so that we can make room for the young guys who are trying to take over, so that now they've got work to do and suddenly they are less of a problem to us.
This
So
is so interesting.
when you look at the origins of the concept of retirement, right, there was an issue of trying to manage a problem of idleness, essentially. The irony, of course, being that when you are retired, you are essentially idle in the way that we understand that now. So when did the concept of early retirement grab my attention? Growing up, a country I grew up in Zim, went through what was called the Economic Structural Adjustment Program, which was a series of economic reforms that were driven by the International Monetary Fund. Basically, conditions that the government was given in order to be able to receive fiscal support from the Bretton Woods institutions. And one of the things that came with that was retirement of people in the civil service, because I think one of the requirements for the Economic Structural Adjustment Program was that you need to re reduce the cost of the civil service. So a lot of guys went on early retirement by getting what they just called package. So you'd wake up one morning and John's dad is no longer going to work, and people be like, ah, and now? And then we'd say, no, he got a package. He got a package. He took his package, so that was almost my first sort of experience of early retirement, because the guy was going to work yesterday, now just this week he's not going anymore. So he's early retired. So that's where that concept came to life for me. Did I think I'd like to retire early? I think at some point I thought so, but I'll probably leave the clarification around that statement for later on in our conversation. I mean, your question was very specific around, when did that catch my attention? I think that's the answer to it.
And I think I like the fact that you're reserving that part of the conversation for later because I might have a thing to add around it. And maybe what I want to add is hinging on this question that I'm about to ask you now. So most people, as you may know, are trained to work until they die, right? Well, until you can no longer do it, until you're old and frail. But what do you think is the biggest lie we've been sold about work and retirement?
Okay, so if you go back to history, one of the things, I'm not trying to turn this into a historical lesson, but I think it's important for context.
Always.
If you go back into the history of mortality, as human beings, right? A couple of hundred years ago, life expectancy was way below 40. Some records even say life expectancy was like 30, 40 years old, 32, 33. You lived that long and you lived like a really good life. So people would work until they died because at 30 or 31, you are still like really, really able to work. So the concept of working until you die was not necessarily an alien concept, because at 30 or 31, you're still. You've got,
You're very
there's still some
active.
blood, but it precisely, it's not some blood is still pumping through your veins. But what has then happened now Over time, is there've been various advances in medical science. Something that Adventists like to talk about, the health message and people looking after themselves and
Yes.
trying to not live sedentary lifestyles. So people have actually now started living longer and longer, right? And then getting to that place where they are so old they are unable to work, but they can work, which then now brings us to the fact that working until you die actually now has a negative connotation to it
Because it's
because,
longer.
it's longer, right? But
Yeah.
previously, working until you die was actually not such a bad thing because you didn't
Yes.
live very long.
Yeah.
So now it's kind of gone full circle because of all the different scientific advances and how we look after ourselves that you literally can be alive for a very, very long time,
Yeah.
but you also don't want to be pulling up at the office in your wheelchair because you can't walk anymore because you're now so old
Yeah.
and frail. So when we then now start talking of retirement, that's now when we start saying, well, what is retirement really? And I think that's one of the questions that we need to answer,
Yes.
given the way that our lives are evolving and how we live for longer and are healthier for longer. And then I suppose the logical assumption is we can then be able to contribute for longer.
For sure.
So if we look, so if you look at how retirement has evolved through the ages, these guys who had gone to battle couldn't fight anymore. Then they get retired. Then this guy looks at it and thinks to himself, these guys are going to create problems for me. I need to create jobs. So let me make it mandatory for people to stop working so that I create space in the workforce for the younger people to come through. And then you also look at how our ability to be physically productive and physically active
Yeah,
has increased
numbers
over
have to.
time because of health, improvements in health and how we just take care of our bodies.
Yeah.
It then brings us to this really interesting place where we say, so what is retirement actually?
Yeah. We've lost you there.
And
Okay, we've got you
okay,
back.
so I was saying we then get to this place where we say, so what is
What is
retirement?
retirement?
And yes, and what does it actually mean,
Yeah.
right? In the traditional sense of it, retirement is, you no longer need to work for you to live because the overriding assumption is you've worked so much,
Yep.
you don't need to work anymore.
And it's
And I
not just
think
any
that's a
work, right? It's not just any work. I can assume that, or I'm hoping that when they talk about you've worked so much, it means you've accumulated so many assets that you no longer have to work for money, but you can take a step back and have the money work for you.
Yes, precisely. That's it. But there are overriding assumptions there.
For sure.
You have worked. You kind of have the assets to be able to free you not to work anymore. But when you go down a layer of detail, you are actually now saying you can also maintain that level of expenditure that you are comfortable with. Because it's very easy to say I've got $1 million, so I'm going to stop working, right? But how long is $1 million going to last me, right? What do I need to do? What tastes have I developed? Do I like jumping on a plane every other couple of months and going off and seeing exotic locations? Do I want to keep up with the latest BMW? And what does that mean for me when the money is no longer coming
Being
in at the same
replenished,
rate?
yeah.
Yes, but the tastes that I have built and developed over time are actually still very, very, very much in existence.
Yeah.
So you find that when you start talking, retirement, it needs to get very, very nuanced, especially in the case of early retirement, because
Yes.
when you throw the word early, we're saying you're kind of doing it before the time. So whether because you have earned money at a faster rate, or inversely, you have spent money at a slower rate, you have built up enough assets for you to be
Reserves.
able to say,
Yeah.
I don't need to continue to earn at the same rate
Yeah.
that I was earning money at for me to be able to maintain, what I would consider to be a comfortable lifestyle. Not necessarily the same lifestyle, Because I mean, what is lifestyle? I've got five children. I need a big house. I need a big car. But now they've all grown up. They've all gone. They've made their own way in the world. I don't need such a big house. I don't need such a big car. But I still want to be comfortable. And how do I sustain that?
Very interesting. So when COVID started, right, because all of us were listening to podcasts all of a sudden and watching a lot of content online, I came across the FIRE movement, and I'm pretty sure you've heard about it, right? Financial independence, retire early. And it piqued my curiosity. I was just like, what? There are people who are not just using money to survive and live day to day, but to actually gain independence and retire early. Sign me up. What is this? So if you can just shed some light on that whole FIRE movement, because what we're talking about today is early retirement and how it's such an enticing concept. A lot of people feel it's out of reach because even retirement is a problem. There are people who are retiring, but having to go back to work and retiring in their later years, right? 60, 70, but having to go back to work because they just cannot afford to stay at home. So with early retirement and this really seductive concept, where do we fit in? How can one see themselves within that whole construct?
I think I'd actually like to challenge it. I actually think the concept of retirement as we know it is actually been turned on its head. There are a number of things that make that impossible. It's almost impossible to be able to predict the future in the current construct of the world. You know, people talk of VUCA and all these, you know, acronyms that are telling you about how it's volatile, it's unexpected, and you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And the context the underlying thinking around retirement is you are in that position to be able to say, if I set aside X amount of money, for X number of years, I'm then going to be able to, after that number of years, be able to get X amount of money out over X number of years.
Yep.
So there are a lot of things that impact that decision. Firstly, the X number of years that you are around just continues to go up. When you look at it, you know, we used to say, you know, you 3 score and 10, most people by 68 or 70, they are out. But people are walking around at 75 and 80 years old. And when you live in the developing world, you know that inflation is a really, really huge factor. So, you know, holding $100 in 2010 and then trying to hold $100 in 2025,
the value has eroded.
Exactly. It's not the same. So so even if you are early retired, right, you still need to be able to generate some sort of income that at the very least keeps up with the rate of inflation. Otherwise, every single year you're alive, you live less of a life than the life that you lived before you retired, which explains when you say a lot of people are coming back, is because people have sat and said to themselves, okay, I've got a house, I've paid it off, and I really don't need to work anymore. Maybe I can sit at home. But you wake up and that house now needs to have a solar system installed because the power is just not reliable. So I think the concept of retirement as we knew it has fundamentally shifted, even the concept of work in itself, because retirement is primarily, primarily refers to us not having to work anymore.
After having,
you know, I don't need to work anymore. But even the concept of work in itself has shifted. You're talking about listening to podcasts. Now, somebody may tell you that their job is a podcaster.
Yeah, right? Content creation.
Precisely, right? You don't need to sign up for that. You don't need to have a contract of employment for that. If you're 150 years old and you can produce content that catches people's attention and you know people
and
listen
makes you
to
a
it
buck. Hey,
yes, you can still be making a buck at 150, right? So I think that the concept of work in itself has fundamentally shifted. And because retirement is so tied to the concept of work, when we say retirement should prevail, when work has changed to such a degree, I don't think that those two things are compatible. People say, I want to retire so that I can travel the world. But we all know of digital nomads. When you talk to Capetonians, one of their biggest gripes right now is that the price of rental property has gone up because of all these digital nomads, right? People who can work from anywhere in the world. So when somebody like that, when you say to somebody who's a digital nomad, do you want to retire so that you can travel the world? They're like, no, I don't need to do that. I travel the world. I travel the world right now.
Anyway, yeah.
You get what I mean? So you also have the gig economy where, you know, because retirement as a concept is codified in law. There are specific requirements around retirement. You can, you know, you need to contribute X, and that contribution, that fund must be, you know, you must have oversight of why. Also, you can't work past this age. All these are things that are being questioned. All these are things that are constantly fluid and moving. And our ability to contribute or to earn money is less and less tied to our formal employment because there are so many different things that we can do. You can launch a second, third career, fourth career, if you like. This is in addition, obviously, to the traditional sort of retirement tools where, you know, maybe you start a farm. But even when you do that, you're earning money differently, right? So just the nature of work also means we need to start questioning the nature of retirement. And when we restrict ourselves to talk about early retirement, I think to a degree, it's not fully congruent with the world that we live in now.
You know what? This conversation is taking a turn I did not expect that it would, but instead of making me nervous, it's actually really exciting me. And I'm going to ditch the script. I'm going to ditch the questions that I had told you would talk about today. And I really just want us to zoom into this whole idea of retirement, but work in itself, right? So earlier I said that later on we'd talk about this idea that I have in my mind and this thinking I have, particularly around work. So I don't believe in retirement. All right. Firstly, and maybe this first one is going to be because at some point or whatever, people just like spiritualizing things, right? In the Bible, I've never read anybody retiring. People that I've read about are people who've done the work that God had assigned for them to do until the day that they die. You know, you find out of Moses who died right at the point of surrendering, not even surrendering, but passing the baton over to Joshua. I've never read a record where God was like, okay, you're old, come back home, chill, and let other people do the work. So I don't believe in retirement for that reason, firstly. But secondly, because my idea of work is also very different to how people generally think about work. And maybe let me preface it this way. When people think about retirement in the 21st century, it's escaping. When people think about retirement, they're just like, finally, I get to do what I want, and I'm not at the beck and call of somebody who determines how much I get paid for what I've done at the end of the month. So it's always just the thing of, whew, I've got my life back, I've got my time back, and I can do whatever I want to do. So the way I think about work and the way I've done work now, I do work now, is that for me, work that is aligned to one's purpose is work you don't need to retire from. And so my push and my drive has always been find the thing that actually fulfills your reason for being and your reason for being here, so that you know you don't need to escape from it via retirement. And when you do take a break, it's because rest is not a reward, but a requirement to refuel yourself and to start over again after whatever period you determine. And so when I'm hearing you talk about how things have changed just in the economy and how people consider work and the concept of early retirement, I'm also like, I don't know how much of this I really subscribe to or believe, because for me, what retirement has meant is just people escaping and reclaiming their identity and their lives, essentially. So I'm keen to hear what your thoughts are on that.
So I'll answer that in a roundabout way without necessarily losing the train of thought
That's
that
perfect.
you've brought up.
That's perfect.
When When we look at work, what is work in its most basic form, right? It's our way of contributing to the way the world work, the way the world works. That's what work is. So, I could be employed by City of Joburg, and my job is to cover the potholes, right? At its most basic, it's a job. It's something that gives me money and I feed my children. Okay. But when you look at that in the greater context of the world, is roads are considered, economic veins, blood veins. You have blood veins in your body that take blood to all the different organs. That's what roads are considered to be. To say, well, we want to build an economy. We need to have roads because people need to be able to travel. So when you just look at that road, you don't necessarily think of it in that context, but at its very basic level, that's what it is, right?
It's
It's it's an
connecting
it's an economic,
communities.
yes.
Yes, it's
It's an
connecting.
economic enabler, yes. And it's a social connector, right? So that's what a job is. So almost all these different jobs that we do, we may have desensitized ourselves to the role they play in the bigger context
You are
and
so
what they
right.
actually mean. So we then just consider them to be jobs. So sometimes we are happy to be free, right? From not contributing to the way of life that we cherish so much, right? Because if the guy who's like, oh, I'm so tired of fixing these potholes, I wish one day I could retire. If you ask him, so do you want the potholes to be there? Because there's a possibility that you don't do, then it's a different thought process. And the reason I want to bring that thinking is to say there are so many ways in which we can contribute to the quality or the content of life as we know it. And sometimes when we talk of retirement, we are almost thinking to ourselves, we've contributed our bit, we are done. The job is now for other people. It may be so in my job where perhaps I fix potholes. But I now have the knowledge of how potholes are fixed because I've done that work. And the person who comes after me to be able to do it may not know how to do it. So my job may just take a different form. I'm no longer the guy there in the road with a pick and a
You're
shovel. But the
transferring
next
knowledge
day,
now.
precisely. And that takes so many different forms, right? Which is why I say I don't know, if the concept of retirement in its most basic form is still there, because we are increasingly learning that we can make contributions in so many different ways, even just by mentoring, the young people in your own family, by passing knowledge, you are adding economic value. That is work. You may decide not to charge for it, but if you are renowned enough, people will pay money to say, hey, look, we want to sit with the former CEO of Bank Y, because, well, hey, he ran Bank Y for 20 years, so he knows what he's talking about. And people pay money to do that. So can former CEO of Bank Y tell you that, oh no, I'm retired, I don't work anymore? Not necessarily, right? So I think in the whole context of retirement, we've accepted how the world of work has evolved and changed. But I think our thinking is still catching up in terms of applying that same thinking and that same evolution to what we consider to be retirement. I actually think I share your thoughts in that we never retire. We just get to contribute in different ways. And because we need money to survive, if our jobs become who we are, we struggle when we retire.
This is true because the career
We
that defined you no longer exists. So what do
Yes,
you do
right?
with your time and your life?
Exactly. So there's a guy called Robert Kabushenga, and he's been very open with his story. Without his permission, I hope you will not take offense if I take the liberty to share a bit of his story here with you. Robert Kabushenga ran the New Vision Group, which is a big media entity in Uganda, in East Africa, and he was CEO of that entity for the longest time. And then he retired, I think 2017 or 2018, somewhere there. Just before COVID. And he says one of the things that hit him was that where previously he could literally walk into any place and they would roll out the red carpet, he kind of walked into a couple of places where it almost looked like people didn't know who he
Oh
was,
no, he'd become
right?
redundant.
Well, not redundant, but he felt that, you know, a lot of who he was was tied to the job he had, you know, and the position that he had, to the point where he almost questioned whether he could contribute anything without having that job or that title. And I think he's gone through a process now, which is why he shares the story. He's gone through a process to redefine how he continues to be relevant even now when he's not holding that huge job and that huge position. And I think retirement is not an end goal. It's you know, I always say life is a continuum. There is no particular point in your life where you're at, which is the destination until you die. You are just on that road, and each different part of that continuum requires something different of you. And we always need to continue to contribute to the way of life and the quality of life that we know. And when I turn 70 and my employer says to me, their policy says I can't continue to come there at 8 o'clock when I'm 70, that
You
just
just
means I now need to,
evolve.
yes, I now need to contribute in a different way. So the concept of retirement, I go off to the village, I just sit there and watch the sun rise every morning and watch it set. A few of the people that I know that have done that, you know, have sadly not lasted too long, because
It
that lack
erodes
of
the
purpose
quality of your life, right? Because
actually
what do
erodes
you
your
wake up
life.
for?
Yes, actually erodes your life. So I want to challenge the concept of retirement,
I love
and even the concept of work, to say, think around how you contribute
I
and
love
how you
it.
continue to contribute in spite of your circumstances. And then we are not all chasing this end goal of, oh, now I've retired, I can travel the world. Well, how do you fund that? You know, oh, now I've retired, I don't need to wake up anymore. Are you going to spend the whole day in bed? No. This is part of your life. This is the continuum, right? Embrace it and find how you continue to make a contribution, even in those circumstances. And the people that have done that almost seem to age backwards when they are supposedly retired.
Oh, I love this so much. It sounds like nothing I had in mind when I walked into this conversation. What I do want us to talk about right now, though, is since we've challenged the concept of work or how people should approach work and how they should rethink and reconsider the idea of retirement, let alone early retirement, how do we then position ourselves or put ourselves in a place where how I'm operating in the season doesn't necessarily look like how I'll operate in the season of my life 10, 20, 30 years from now. Because the truth is, while I may live long, the quality, maybe not the quality of my life, but the extent to which I'm able to apply myself may be different. It particularly physically, right? And maybe even if you think about things like dementia and all of those, a lot can happen that over time erodes how you're able to apply yourself. Now, I want us to talk about how somebody in their 20s, then we'll move to, I'll skip decades. So 20, 40, 60, or leading into 60, can structure their work, their investments, what they do, and maybe the ferocity with which they do work at every one of those stages or every one of those seasons, such that at the later years, when they cannot do what they could do at 20 or 30, they find themselves not having to work because they have to put food on the table, but are working because it's just a part of fulfilling their calling.
Cool. So, you know, given the platform that we are on, I think it gives us liberty, you know, to speak freely about our faith, and some of the lessons that we take from the faith that we share. When you read the story of Joseph, what was Joseph's claim to fame? So Joseph's claim to fame was not getting thrown into the pit, or getting rescued out of the pit, or even resisting the irresistible Mrs. Potiphar. Joseph's claim to fame was his ability to plan, and to share that plan, and to then execute it as well, right? The plan around, you know, the seven fat cows and the seven skinny cows, right?
No, Joseph was an economist, okay?
of Yes,
note.
right. So during precisely, so during that period of abundance, he realized that there is a period coming. Yes, he had the divine foresight to say there was a period coming where there would not be so much. So how do you plan for periods of want? By being judicious during the periods of plenteous supply.
Oh, I love that so
And
much.
if you take and if you take that even further into Ecclesiastes, it says, for everything, there is a purpose under the sun. And I like the way that verse puts it, right? It juxtaposes opposing forces, right? There is a period to be happy,
And a
and some
period to
versions say a
mourn.
period to laugh, and then it says there's a period to cry, right? To say that for every opposite, there is an answer. And then now, for the scientists among us, we always say, for the balance to be maintained, every force has an equal and opposing
Yes,
force.
for every
You
debit,
know
there needs
that
to be a credit.
if you're an accountant, right? So I think that that's a lens that we always need to take as we live our lives generally. The let's not leave out the arty guys who read Shakespeare and literature and stuff like that. They always say youth is wasted on the young. And what do they mean? What do they mean by that? They mean that when you are older, you will wish you were younger. But when you are younger, you need to behave as though you were older.
Yeah, because the young live with no appreciation of the fact that time is not a is not a is
Exactly.
not an infinite
Exactly.
gift.
Reckless abandon. So at some point, what you need to do is have a plan. We can question whether your plan is the best plan or whether it's a good plan, but have some semblance of a plan. Acknowledge the fact that I'm 20 years old now. I can run a mile in 5 minutes or in 6 minutes, but when I'm 30 years old, I'm less likely to be able to do that.
For
And how
sure.
am I planning for that time? A key, and it's something we've spoken about in these conversations before, is your willingness to develop the ability to not spend all the money you make is the biggest determinant of financial freedom. If you can make $100 and only spend $50, you are halfway to being financially successful. You are halfway to being financially free, as we call it, in your later years.
That's
Because
so good.
our biggest challenge is lifestyle creep, right? I earn $100 and I spend $100. When they pay me $150, I now spend
I
$150.
need
Am I
to keep
better
up with
off?
the Joneses.
Am I better off earning $150 than I was earning $100?
No.
Maybe visually I am, because I've got a better car and I wear more expensive shoes. But in terms of my actual worth, I might actually have gone backwards, because now we have leverage, right? Because if the bank can lend you $200 because you earn $100, when you earn $150, they'll lend you
For
$300 and not
sure. And it
$150, right?
sinks you
So
deeper into the pit.
precisely. So I almost say the single biggest flex that you can have as far as finances are concerned is to build the right money habits. If you have poor money habits, having more money will just mean you've got bigger problems. And that's one of the biggest lies that we've sold each other about money. We've told ourselves that when I make more money, I'm going to live better. But guess what? Million dollar houses also get repossessed by the bank. And $20,000 houses also get
Also
repossessed by the
get
bank.
repossessed,
And the commonality between those things is somebody whose finances probably were not in the state that they should have been. And yes, we can put all sorts of provisos. There are things that you won't see. People are befallen by calamity. These are facts of life. But the reality is, earning more money is not going to save you from financial problems. Having the right money habits, regardless of how much money you have, will actually make you better from a financial standpoint. So I think, when you say, okay, so what do you do in your 20s? What do you do in your 30s? What do you do in your 40s? I think there's one thing that applies to you across all those different age bands, if you want to call them that. Develop the right money habits. Do not Do not spend all the money you make. Put some aside for a rainy day. Make your money work for you. You know what is your money doing that you don't need to get it to do? I know savings accounts may not pay a lot of money, a lot of interest, but that money is there.
It's
It's
there
yours.
and it's yours,
It's work. Yes, it's working for you. So by and large, I always say the thing, and people even ask, oh, so how do you teach your kids money? And I always say, give him $20 and ask him to bring change. Even if you know that he needs to buy something for $20, let him figure it out. Let him go there and look at this $20 thing and think to himself, do I really need the $20 one? But dad says I need to bring change, so maybe I should buy the $15 one. And if he comes to me and he says, well, you told me to buy a red one, but the red ones were all $21. I came back with the blue one and I've got $4 change. For me, the young man's on the right
He's
track.
got
And we need,
acumen.
and ex exactly. And that's it, right? Acumen, right? So it's not how much money you make, it's what your financial habits are. Because even billionaires get sequestrated. You hear of people that were billionaires and now they're broke and assets are getting auctioned. I don't want to single them out, but a lot of our sports stars are really good examples of this, where
They
they
were
are back
swimming
home,
in it at first.
Ekasi. Yes. Back home, Ekasi in the back room. But 5 years earlier, the guy had a brand new, convertible every year. It's not how much money you make, it's what money habits you develop. And a really big one is don't spend all the money you make. You need to start there.
And what do I do with the money that gets left behind? I think it's important that we get into this. And maybe somebody who is as advanced as you might think, of course, it's obvious, you invest, you save. But I really want us to break it down, right? For somebody who, because we've literally overhauled a concept that people were holding on to. We have challenged people who are close to 60 and they're just like, I'm getting there. And now we're just like, do you really want to get there? Apart from the fact that you may not be able to afford it, but is that how you want to live your life? So we've upended an idea that people held for so long because they weren't challenging it or even questioning it. And so you're saying start now to develop habits that will put you in good stead by the time you can't do the things you used to do with as much fervor and as much strength and agility. But now, what do I do with the money that I don't spend? We don't have a lot of time. I'll just give us 3 minutes to go over this. But what are the things that will actually make it such that when I'm old and gray and I'm still working in whatever capacity I can, my money also works for me?
The first thing is, when you wake up one morning, I like to tell stories, and for
And
me,
I
you'll
love
bear
it
with
so
me.
much. I'm
When
already getting excited.
you wake up in the morning, right, and your toilet is blocked, very few of us, kind of go and get that long steel wire and all of that. We pick up the phone and we phone a plumber.
Oh, for sure.
Why do we do that? Because we think the plumber knows what he's doing, right? But all of us seem to be geniuses where money is concerned.
Woo!
Because money is so personal to us. That's why. Because it's my money. The concept of my money has blinded us to the reality that we may actually not know what the best thing to do with our money is.
You just
And that's
punched me
just
in
a
the
long
gut.
way. I'm
You've just
sorry.
punched me in
But
the gut.
that's just a long way of saying get financial advice. Talk to a financial advisor. Because our situations are so unique to each one of us, and all the different things that we want to do are not the same. In
And
as
they may
much as
not
we may
even
upend,
fix your con your
yes,
context.
exactly. Exactly. Take the time to identify a good financial advisor, somebody that you can sit with who can look at your money in an impartial way and give you the right advice. That's the first thing. But the reason why I always keep coming back to money habits is even a good financial advisor cannot save you from yourself. If you don't have the right habits, you are in a problem
I gave you 3
already.
minutes to speak to us, not
You
to
see.
punch us. What is going
No.
on?
No, but that's the truth, right? So you've identified that, look, listen, I need to build the right money habits. Take the time to sit down with a financial advisor to look at your own unique circumstances. Talk to them, tell them what it is that you want to do. They have the right training, they have the right knowledge, and they will guide you. in terms of being able to appreciate what, and financial advisors are regulated. As with all things, there are bad apples in there. But if you also take your time to do your homework, you can find people that you can sit down with and have a conversation with. Because the biggest problem is a lot of us are trying to figure our way around things that we don't understand. I remember in a previous similar sort of conversation where somebody said to me, do you invest in Bitcoin? And I said, I don't. And they said, why? I said, I don't understand it. And for me, that's enough. My brother could be making money off Bitcoin, but I don't understand it, right? But for me, one of the first things I learned about money when I went on the journey was try and do the things that you understand with your money. Because money is so personal to us, and it's a huge part of our sense of security. You don't want to invest in this thing where you're waking up in a sweat every night wondering if your money is still there. If you can deal with that, then by all means go for it,
Go
right?
ahead.
But if it's not, yeah, but if it's not what you want, then don't put yourself in that situation. But getting sound financial advice deliberately and being open and honest about what it is that you want to achieve is a really, really great start. But start with the right habits and don't spend all the money you make. It is as close to a magic bullet for financial management as I know. And as you say, so then what do you do with the money after that? Then speak to a financial advisor. Speak to a financial advisor.
Tish, are you a financial advisor?
No, I'm not a financial advisor. Like I say, I'm not an expert. I'm really passionate about people just living better, not because they earn more money, but because they manage their money better. So
They
if
know
there's a
what
money
to do with
management
it.
advocate, yeah, that's what I would propose for. The way of the world is such that not all of us are going to earn $1 million.
Oh,
I
for
mean, we
sure.
all wish we could, right? But the reality is we won't. But are only millionaires comfortable? No, they're not. And when we
No.
look in our circles, I think that this theory is proven. When you look in your circles, you will know that one family that does not earn the most amount of money. They're comfortable. They dress reasonably well. They eat reasonably well. They are happy. They can go on holiday. Maybe they can't go to Aspen, but they can jump into the car, put their bags in, and drive down to the coast and come back, and then we all know those people that, they do earn a lot of money because we can see it. But you then get the weird phone calls in the middle of the night saying, hey, look, listen, man, you need to transfer to it. Can you just give me a young 20,000? And you're thinking, where am I supposed to get it from? Also, why can't you go to the bank, right? And the difference is always money habits. Develop the right money habits before you worry about how much money you're making.
Like I said earlier, I walked into this conversation with a different idea for how it would go. Not because I believe in the notion, but I guess we don't always get to talk about the things we believe in, right? So this is a concept that other people understand and are headed towards or aspire to. And we have just really made people question so much about their lives. Right now, I want to ask you to talk on something that I didn't get to ask you. So the question I didn't ask you that you believe is so important before this conversation ends for you to speak on, what is that thing?
I think all of us can live a lot more comfortably. And we confuse comfort with abundance.
And before you continue, I love that you're saying that because comfort is relative, right? And everybody knows when they are comfortable. Genuinely comfortable.
But we've been sold this thing of abundance. Of bounteous, and I'm not saying that abundance does not
Oh
exist,
no,
right?
we're not
But
vilifying
yes,
money at all.
no. But the like I'm saying, the concept that we've been sold is what then leads us to believe that when I make more money, I will live a better life. But my whole thinking is always, it's not how much money you make, it's what you do with the money that you make. If you cut your robe according to the clothes that you have, you will always have a robe. But if you are going to cut your robe, using 30 meters of material when you have 20 meters of material, you are always going to be walking around naked. You are.
Exposed. And that's what
Yes, you
happens
are
with money. If
the,
we get too personal and
exactly.
emotional about it, it exposes us.
Yes, so I'm a very big proponent of that, and I repeat that all the time. It's great to make loads of money. We could all use a lot of money, but it matters more what we do with what we have, than what we think we should have for us to be able to be comfortable.
You are so and should I is the word insightful? But this was such an insightful conversation. You really illuminated so much to my listeners. I know that for a fact. I hadn't thought about retirement in a long time, and not in a sense of wanting to retire, but I hadn't thought about this concept in a very long time. And so to have this conversation with you really just reignited the spark that I always had in my mind and the conversations that I've had with people. And it was such a refreshing conversation. I mean, I sent you the conversation points we'd speak about, right? And you know that it went in a different direction. But I do think that this is
Yeah,
a
I know it did.
direction that people needed to be taken to, because we have to think about the things that were sold. We have to think about the
Yeah.
things we've held dear and so precious, and the things we've aspired to for so long, about whether they really apply to us and whether we want to apply ourselves to them. So I'm really happy that you came in, you flipped the tables, and we had a conversation that was worth having, because people don't normally have these conversations with others and, more importantly, with themselves. So thank you so much for lending us your wisdom. Thank you so much for lending us your time. This was brilliant. You are brilliant.
Thank
Thank
you
you
very
so
much.
much.
Thank you, Mpumi. Always a pleasure. And I hope if we have at least managed to get just one person to think differently, I think our job is done.
Yes. I really like your mind. I think I'll call you in for a different conversation another time. But thank you for this one. Really appreciate it.
You're most welcome, guys. Have a great evening.
Cheers, you too.
Cheers. Bye.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.